96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. 14 years ago, she and her business partner birthed a fledgling staffing startup. Today, she is the sole owner of a $15 million enterprise with more than 200 employees across the U.S. Tonight, for our Women's History Month conversation, we sit down with Dawn Hendricks, president and CEO of FM Talent Source, about how she got here from there in business. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Dawn, thank you so much for coming in. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, let me find out just a little bit about you, because from what I understand, before you started this business with your business partner, you already had a good job.
I did.
So some people would probably think, if they didn't know where you were now, that perhaps six-figure job, that you bumped your head. Did you think that?
I did. I had a strong vision and desire. I wanted to be an entrepreneur. I saw a need in the marketplace for the services that we could provide. But at that particular time, I was a single mom. I had a son who was in private school. I was in management in a Fortune 500 company. And I was driven by this passion, this underlying passion to do this work. So in trying to process and make the decision, I work with a coach, someone to help me think through the process, making sure that I had set things up appropriately, that I was really ready to take this leap. And while I was working, I decided, well, let me kind of do this on the side to see if what I thought I could do actually could manifest into a reality. So those were kind of the steps and the processes that I took in trying to make the decision to take the full leap.
What is FM Talent Source? I said, you know, staffing startup, but for a lot of people, that doesn't mean anything to them. What did the business start out as? What were you doing?
Yep. We started out as a recruiting and consulting firm. So we were providing full-time placement and contract staff for large commercial entities. So the Fannie Mae's, the Freddie Mac's, the Discovery's, the Marriott's, those were our clients, and, you know, others as well, providing services. It could be administrative, it could be financial management or budget, accounting. Those were the types of services we would provide to our clients.
Mm-hmm. So how does that translate? When you say staffing, are you talking about temp services? Are you talking about permanent placement? Give me the breakdown of how that worked exactly.
Yep. So we were really a hybrid in the sense that we were doing both perm placement for a fee, as well as, I wouldn't really consider it temp staffing because they were long-term opportunities. So we would not take an opportunity that wasn't going to be 6 months or more. But they were augmenting staff for whomever the client was. So, you know, a person may have been out on maternity leave, or they may not have had a full-time headcount. And so in order to get the work done, they'd bring in a short-term consultant to get that body of work done.
Had you always wanted to be an entrepreneur?
You know, entrepreneurship has always been, it's in my blood. So my grandfather had a trucking company, my dad, trucking company. So, I had been around that growing up. Being at and working for the company that I did, I saw that there was an opportunity. So I was working as an HR manager and essentially bringing in other vendors, other, you know, recruiting and consulting firms to fill needs that we had in our organization, and was having a real challenging time identifying solid firms that actually would do what they said they would do. So I'm like, aha, if this company is having that issue, this issue is happening, you know, just across the industry, and I can remix it. So I can do this, and then I can also put more of a consultative approach to the work that we're going to do for both our clients, and wanted to provide that same type of consulting for the candidates that we were working with. So that was the driver behind, you know, me wanting to do this.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. This is one of our many Women's History Month conversations. I'm sitting with the president and CEO of FM Talent Source, Dawn Hendricks. This is a D.C. Metro-based company, started as a startup some 14 years ago, now worth $15 million. If you have a question, if you have a comment for Dawn, give us a call. Again, the lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Talk to me about how you started it up. I mean, was this one of those, you know, Bill Gates, Under Armour, starting in your garage kind of situation?
So for the first 2 years, we did work out of our homes, right? We did not have office space and that type of thing, and so nor a whole lot of money. So we were operating very bare bones, very grassroots. And then in 2006, we were able to get our first space, which was a room and four desks. And it, you know, as we were starting to grow a little bit and get a few more clients, that room just got increasingly smaller. So we were able to move into the building we're in now and sublease out the place where we were.
And you're in Silver Spring.
We're in downtown Silver Spring.
You're in downtown Silver Spring, the mecca of Montgomery County, some would say. So, you know, with a whole lot of things happening down there. What was that first year like for you personally and as far as business is concerned?
The first year was very scary, because in the midst of me even deciding to do this and sharing it with my family that I was about to do this, they were like, girl, you know you can't leave that good job.
Like I said, they said you bumped your head. Didn't I raise you better than that? You know.
And think about your son and, you know, are you really thinking this through? And, you know, so I was really nervous and fearful of making a mistake. You know, like I said, I had a son. We were accustomed to a certain quality of life. It was just me, so there was no backup plan. So it just required me to really grind and really dig my heels in and get out in front of people and bring in business and identify clients. And, you know, the first couple of years I was still working. So I was doing this part time. But then when I made the decision to leave the market at that particular time, you know, there was a lot going on and there was a big need and a big push for companies that, that's provided the types of services we did and me specifically. So I was able to go back to the company that I had just resigned from and say that I can do this to help you. And they fortunately said, okay. We were able to grow quickly in that, probably get about 25 consultants on, providing very specialized services. So things were looking really good for about a year, year and a half. And then the financial crisis hit.
I want to talk about that, too, because, as you said, that was a rough period, not only for business, but for people working. And I do want to drill down a little bit into that, because I'm sure that is a fascinating part of this conversation. But I want to go to the phones first. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking to Dawn Hendricks. She is the president and CEO of FM Talent Source. This is a African-American woman, a woman-owned company. And let's go to Crystal. Crystal, calling from Columbia. Crystal, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Thank you. I missed part of the call. Is does Ms. Dawn have an employment agency? What type of business exactly is it?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes. So we are actually a consulting firm. And so we provide solutions to primarily the federal government, but we're also able to scale that into private entities, private enterprise, and nonprofit entities. The services that we provide are financial management, and that scales from accounting and budget transformation, audit, statistical analysis. We're also providing grant management services and solutions, and we provide end-to-end grant services. So that's from the peer review, grantee selection process through the policies and procedures that are governing the grant management cycle all the way through closeout. And then finally, we're providing solutions on the HR strategy side.
And what does that mean for those of us who did not go to Hofstra like you?
Okay. So Hofstra,
Okay. Break it down for
HR strategy. It's very broad. It's a nice way of saying HR management. And so that could be recruitment. That could be training and development. That could be organizational design and development. We really scale the full gamut in HR services.
Did you have another question, Crystal?
A website, phone number?
Yes, www.fmtalent.com, and that's F as in Frank, M as in Mary, talent.com. And the phone number is 301-495-4956.
Thank you so much, Crystal, for your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking to the president and CEO of FM Talent Source, Dawn Hendricks. This is part of our Women's History Month conversation. Let's go to Kim. Kim, calling from Columbia. Thanks for calling, Kim. What's on your mind?
Yes, I am almost right in line with her because I have 24 years in HR. However, now I'm going the extreme opposite and wanting to take the leap, but I'm afraid as well, and I have a lot of naysayers as far as, you know, how are you going to do that kind of thing. And so I'm wondering what helped you get over the hurdle to go ahead and start. It would be more profitable for me to do the same thing that you're doing and start my own HR consulting company. But I'm starting with hair restoration because I can now take accept insurance for any kind of hair service that would restore hair or replace hair. And so that's been my passion as well for years. I'm just, like you said, I'm afraid. I know there's a business for it. It's a niche, and you know I could make it. I just don't know how to jump over that first hurdle to just do it.
Yeah. So what I would say, I don't know if you know anyone that's currently in that space doing similar types of work that you could talk to, a mentor. I think mentors or coaches, I've used a coach, you know, when I started that process, I'm still using a coach to really help you think through and strategize how you're going to move forward. I think for you, it's first clarifying your vision and being, you know, sure of where you want to go and then developing a plan. So making sure you get your business plan put in place, understanding how you're going to finance this, understand how the organization is going to look, you know, how it's going to be structured and all of who are your customers? How are you going to get your product or service out to those customers? So those are the things that a mentor or a coach can help you strategize and think through so that you feel more comfortable before you actually take the leap.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Kim, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking to Dawn Hendricks. She's the president and CEO of FM Talent Source, a 14-year-old company that she and her business partner started. The company was a startup and now worth in excess of $15 million. This conversation is, of course, part of our Women's History Month conversation when we sit down and talk to women who are doing their thing during the course of this month of March. If you have a question, if you have a comment, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Karen, calling from Greenbelt. Thanks for calling, Karen. What's on your mind? Karen, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, go right ahead, please.
Okay. Two questions I had. One was, How was the business actually financed? I know some people, they have like venture people that contribute funds, and some people, they just use their own salary, and some people, they're pooling the partners. So I wanted to know how she actually financed it. And the other thing was she mentioned coaches help, and I just wanted to know what type of coach did she actually utilize? Because once she went into the million-dollar status, everyone is not operating at that particular level to be able to guide you and coach you. So I just wanted to know, how did she know what type of person to help her to move to that next higher level, which is a whole nother realm when she went into the million-dollar area?
Karen, hold your point and stay on the line. We're going to get the answer to your questions after this break. Also, Cindy calling from Bowie, we're going to talk to you as well. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. More of your phone calls and calls in this conversation in just a bit. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight we are having another Women's History Month conversation. My guest is Dawn Hendricks, President and CEO of FM Talent Source. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about business, the ups and the downs of Dawn's business and her experience. So give us a call if you have a question. Before the break, Karen was asking you first about funding, and then she was asking you about coaching, particularly when you began to earn seven figures in your business. Go right ahead.
Okay. So the funding piece, my business partner and I both financed this organization. So we both came together bringing in $10,000 each. So we were real bare bones with the start.
Kind of like Spike Lee in his first movie. You put it on a credit card, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. We tell the truth on this program so that everybody understands what's happening.
No fanfare there. But with the services that we provide, we were really fortunate because in us providing a perm placement, there was no upfront cost. So our job was to identify for our clients the right employee that they wanted to hire, and they in turn would give us a fee based off of their base salary. So we were able to do that literally for a few years, and we put out a couple of consultants or, you know, did some of the placement work, which then started to increase our bank accounts some, and continue to kind of repeat and replicate that until we could really start to build. And honestly, for the first few years, we did not need to take any financing, any additional bank loans or that type of thing. So we were fortunate in that regard.
Why did you need to eventually take out a loan, or did you?
Well, we did. So when the market shifted and the business dried up, we still needed to pay folks. And so we needed to figure out a way and an approach that we were going to be able to get those funds. And we did something that, you know, I think if we had worked it a little differently, could have benefited us, work out well. And that was doing the, what is it called? The financing where they purchase your receivables, and they charge you a fee for it. And it is, I guess, a great approach for you if you do not have cash, but it is a real drain on your dollars. And, you know, in them doing this, the whole condition is that they will manage your entire back office. And so they were messing up our back office, messing up our billing, and then we were paying a significant amount of money on the money that they were advancing us. And so we ended up having to buy out of that contract, mm-hmm. which was extremely, extremely costly.
Karen also asked about your coaching, particularly when the company really began to grow, was, and you said you're using the same coach.
Not the same
one. Not the same coach?
No,
okay.
No. So in the beginning, and for me, it's word of mouth. So, you know, I've got a great network and a great group of people that can refer resources to me. So for the first person that I used in the early stages, it actually worked out really well because it was my business partner's sister-in-law. And so she was just getting her feet wet in the whole coaching space. So I worked with her for a few years. I then worked with another group, a CEO group that, we could really bounce ideas off of. And, you know, the issue when you are out on your own is that, you're at the top of the food chain. So you really don't have anyone to ask questions of. You really don't have any accountability partners, you know. So, I mean, who's going to really say anything to you in your own firm? So, you know, having someone additional to talk to and to kind of, you know, vet ideas and to be able to process things is really important. For me, that group session just didn't work really well. I think it's great for some folks, but I was really looking for more one-on-one. Mm-hmm. And so I decided that that approach probably wasn't best suited for me. And I began working with another coach through a referral. Mm.
Karen, thank you so much for your phone call. I appreciate it. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Cindy calling from Bowie. Thanks for calling, Cindy. What's on your mind? Cindy, are you there? Cindy, give me a call back if you can. You mentioned earlier about the recession. Mm-hmm. What happened with the business and what was your mindset when you began to notice that things were changing?
Yeah. So what happened is all of my people were rolling off. You know, the clients were saying, we are not going to keep these folks. Our business is changing. We don't have the money for to continue these services. So, you know, with us at that particular time, we may have had 35, 40 employees, and that starts to really dwindle down. So your revenue coming in is dropping significantly. So once we saw the handwriting on the wall that this was just really a play throughout the industry that we worked in, we said, how are we going to remain viable? And so we decided to take the experience that we had on the commercial side and move that into the federal space. But neither one of us knew the federal processes. So we had never worked in the federal government, and the folks on the federal side, they speak a completely different language. Their procurement process and way of getting business is completely different. They use different vehicles to actually, you know, procure services. So we had to really make a really hard decision. Did we want to move into that space or try to, you know, wait out this recession on the commercial side? We decided to move forward with federal and really had to learn some things really quickly. Mm. And got our 8A, which we did ourselves through research. 8A is a contracts and procurement vehicle that is for minority small businesses. Mm-hmm. So this is a way that the federal government, they set aside resources and funding and a budget for that's allocated for minority small businesses.
The thing about... And I think this is really critical for our listeners. When you think, you know, federal government, even in Washington, D.C., it is still the old boys network. Mm. Was that difficult for you to crack, or did you have to push your male partner forward in that space? How did you deal with that?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely prevalent. And you have to really, you have to put the ego aside really quickly.
Why do you say that?
Well, because at the end of the day, it's not about me and whether or not the people at the table are paying attention to me specifically, or, you know, as long as they're hearing and responding to the types of services that we're providing and interested in moving forward with us, it doesn't matter if I'm pitching or if my business partner is pitching. I've been in rooms where, you know, I've been there and the men in the room won't even look at me. They won't even address a question to me. Or if I say something, then they look at my business partner, you know, for follow up. So I saw it, I recognized it. And I decided if that's kind of that approach, I either will go with him, let him take the lead, or I'll just go by myself. And so that's kind of how we managed things.
You mentioned the issue with the receivables company. Would you consider that a mistake, having used that vehicle that, as you said, did not work out?
It didn't work for us. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know a lot of companies use.
But I mean, for you.
Yeah.
For you personally.
For us.
And for the company.
For us, if I had to do it all over again, I think I would have been more vigilant in trying to find other financing options. Mm-hmm. I would have really sought out a bank that could lend us money as opposed to spending the type of money that we did.
Mm-hmm. What would you, outside of that, what would you describe as your, as the biggest mistake that you've made? Because entrepreneurs say, you know, we always make mistakes, we learn from it. Yeah, we hear that. But what was the mistake or mistakes that scared you, that gave you pause?
Well, that factoring in, and it just occurred to me that is the financing thing. So that one really scared me. I'm trying to think of some other things that were mistakes that happened. I mean, I remember a very frightening time for us where we were very fortunate to never have to lay off anyone. But we had gotten really close to having to make that decision. I mean, it was in 2010, and just kind of a backdrop for the work that we do in the federal government, the cycle from when we submit our proposal to when it's awarded could be 6 months, 9 months, or more. And so we were bidding like crazy, and the work wasn't coming through timely. And so, of course, I have a staff of people working operationally inside our headquarter office that I have to pay.
Not to mention a son who eats.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yes. You know, there's that.
Well, there is that. And, you know, all of the paying the mortgage and that kind of thing. But I remember this one particular Friday. I will remember it to the day I die. And I had to step away from the office because I had a really weighty decision to make. And as God would have it, I think it was like 3 o'clock Friday afternoon, I got an email that said we had been awarded a contract, which ended up being a $7 million contract. And I did not have to lay off any staff. With this particular contract, we were able to absorb employees from the previous contractor. So I was able to get an immediate infusion of cash to come through. And so that was, a frightening thing. When I think about mistakes that I've made, I think mistakes that I've made has really been on the resourcing side. When you don't have a lot of money to play with, you try to get creative and figure out ways to approach how to approach things without spending a whole lot of money. And so some decisions that I made was to get very junior people and try to train them up and so that they could move things forward. And I found that became a real drain on us. It didn't allow me to really do the things that I needed to do to build the company because I'm managing. I'm mm-hmm. telling you, do this, do that, you know, that type of thing. So through that experience, I've learned it is better to bite the bullet and get subject matter experts to come in that can specialize and provide services in that particular space. That you need them, whether that be, you know, finance or HR, program or project management, and then allow me to do what I need to do to actually grow the business.
So you were working for the company that you owned instead of working to expand it.
That's correct.
Yeah. I need to take another break. I have plenty of questions for you, some philosophical questions and advice from you for women that are trying to follow in your footsteps. We're talking to Dawn Hendricks, president and CEO of FM Talent Source. We're talking about how she got here from there in business. It's part of our Women's History Month conversation. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We'll be back on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We are continuing our conversation about Women's History Month. It's our Women's History Month conversation with Dawn Hendricks. She's president and CEO of FM Talent Source. What does FM stand for?
So when we originally started the company, it stood for Franklin Miller, which was my business partner's last name, Omari Franklin. And Miller was my last name at that particular time. Since he's no longer with us and I'm no longer a Miller, we have changed the meaning to financial management since that's a core tenant and competency that we offer within the firm.
Oh, okay, because I was thinking it was like FM radio, so you're going from FM to satellite or FM to high definition or, you know, something like, I don't know. But what was there a point, whether it was near the beginning, in the middle, or even last week, what was your aha moment that made you say, I don't believe that I've done this, or this is amazing, that you were finally able to step outside of yourself and look at what you were able to create? Or were you always just so confident that there never was one of those moments?
Well, I was going to say, I don't know that I've had that moment yet, just because I feel like there's still so much to do. I think when I have those moments, I think it's more like my husband saying and reminding me of kind of the way that my company started when we first met and kind of where the organization is now and, you know, being able to reflect on some of those things through that conversation. But honestly, my day-to-day is so much of a grind and so much of a push to grow and continue to move to our next level and maintaining that focus on the vision. I don't know that I've had that real aha moment mm-hmm. at this point.
What kind of advice would you give to Black women that are considering jumping in and doing what you're doing, or and I don't mean HR so much, but just business? What do you tell them?
I say follow your dream, you know, figure out what you're passionate about. If you, you know, and I hate to sound cliche, but this is so true. If you can see it, you actually can achieve it. So I tell people, know exactly what you want to do. You know, see kind of the vision for where you want to go and then start trying to create some steps behind that so that you can move forward and achieve that goal and vision. It's doable. There are folks out here doing this all day long. I mean, women are owning half of the small businesses that are out here nationwide. So there are so many support systems out here, so many resources. I mean, the market has shifted and changed so much. I mean, even in our industry on the government contracting side, there are real dollars being allocated to spend for women-owned businesses. So once you get clear on what you want to do, I'd say find a support system, a network that will help support you in that. But don't be paralyzed by fear. Start slow and go for it.
You got married 4 years ago, but you said you started out as a single mother. How did you find time to find someone to get married to when you are the boss and an entrepreneur? And you just talked about the grind.
Yes. So definitely stayed on the grind. But I have to tell you, Harold, I did the online dating thing. So I didn't have time to go out and meet people and, you know, that type of thing. So I decided to allow the technology to work for me. Let me kind of, you know, look through a couple of profiles and decide the couple that I was interested in.
But you didn't, when you saw him, you didn't say, okay, I'm going to marry that
one.
No. You had to work on it. There's still courtship. And I guess when you're trying to balance that, your son is 19.
Yes.
And so when you, let me do the math, when you got married, he was, you know, 15. But, you know, before that, he was at a really impressionable age. And so you had, you know, family, this entrepreneurial pursuit, and you were, you know, in the process of, you know, of finding a mate. How did you balance that?
It was a delicate balance. I mean, I wanted to first make sure that my son was comfortable and in a space where he could actually deal with me being in a relationship. So once I don't want to say he got his approval, but once we had a conversation.
Oh, yeah. No, you had to get his approval.
And anybody that knows my son, they probably know that
absolutely.
That is the case, too. But once we had that conversation and I thought that this was something that he could handle, you know, he was very active. He was, you know, in sports, basketball and running track. So I knew that and very active with his friends. So I knew that he had a lot going on and wouldn't necessarily be concerned. And then, you know, I had to be really conscientious of the type of person that I was bringing into, you know, our lives. And, you know, my husband had two daughters or has two daughters, my two stepdaughters. And so very family oriented and active and engaged. And so someone that I felt like I could bring my son around and it'd be a good situation and scenario, one in which he would thrive in. And so we were able to, once we decided that this relationship would go to the next level, I could open up my son to this and we could do the dates and going to the movies and going out to dinner and that type of thing. Then when I couldn't hang out because of business, that was just a part of, in the nature of the beast of being with someone like me.
And that brings me to my next question. Is your husband an entrepreneur?
So he is. He works a full-time job, but he has a business on the side.
Because that's, and that's, I think that's the point, because he wasn't there in the very beginning.
No.
And I often wonder for successful women such as yourself that, you know, are single but moving into a relationship, did you have to have the conversation, saying, like, you know, I can't because I have a company to run, Oprah. what was that conversation like?
Yeah, I mean, I think he understood. I mean, we're in the same industry, although providing services and different services. So I think he understood what is required to be successful, understood kind of the steps and the processes that I had to take. Maybe not the full scale and full spectrum. But he was very, I think, open, accommodating, and understanding, I think is the better word, of my my goals, my career. And he understood that coming into my life, this, as you said, was already established. Mm-hmm. So if he wanted to be a part of my life, that he'd have to understand where I am, where this business is. And then, you know, we'll figure out together how to make it work.
And I think that was very, you know, flat-footed and plain spoken. You know, if you want me, you know, there's all of this stuff that comes with it. You bought out your partner after, what, 13 years?
Yes.
Why?
Well, I think a couple of things. Well, first and foremost, he was ready to go. He was ready to retire. And so when I was actually getting ready to purchase just 1% from him so that this company could be a woman-owned business, because previously we were 50-50. And right before we were getting ready to go to the attorney, he dropped it on me that I'm getting ready to sell you the whole 50%. So once I picked myself up off the floor, I, you know, got my mind together, and I was able to really get excited about the possibilities of where this organization could go. So that's.
And that was my next question. So where, after 14 years, do you want this organization? This is your the second child that you've birthed, one could say.
My second baby.
Yeah.
So where we're taking the organization, I mean, we've already started with the rebranding. So initially, we were branded as a staffing recruiting company and the such. We've started to move away from that pretty exclusively and move solely into the consulting space, providing deliverable-based solutions in the three vertical areas I described earlier. You know, we've got a really lofty goal of growing this organization six times its current size in the next 5 years. We are doing a lot right now to make sure that the company is ready to scale to that level of growth. We've been putting in new systems. Like I said, I did some strategic hiring of some real key positions within our organization. And we are also, putting in a quality management system that will facilitate that growth as well. So we're ready. I'm ready.
Yeah.
She ready.
She's ready. Go ahead. Put your hand up. Hey. Yeah, I will say, Dawn, that, you know, your story is inspiring and certainly something to be modeled after for, I would say, for women and men. And so I want to, you know, tip my hat to you. Congratulations. And I wish you all the success in the world. And, you know, and when your son gets out of college, get his opinion too. You know, he did okay with the husband part. So who knows what else, you know, he may have it together once he graduates. So Dawn Hendricks, thank you so much. And congratulations again. Thanks for talking to us.
Thank you.
That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Thursday, March 15th. I'm Harold Fisher. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now, stay tuned for The Connection with Lorna Newton. Good night.